Thank you both so much. I enjoyed that. Turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm 133. Oh, I pray the Lord will let us enter into this precious psalm. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." I have something tonight that I pray will be good and pleasant to us. Very good and pleasant. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In a world that is so full of separation right now, just so full of separation, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When you look up the word brethren, one of the definitions is those who are of the same Father, our Father. Brethren are all those who share the same Father. Behold how good it is for brethren, those who are born into the same family, born into the same name. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The word unity means one. One. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in one. What is our one? What is our oneness? What is our unity? It's a person. It's a person. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word dwell means live. That's what it means, live. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to live together in Christ. You can ask a true, believing, looking, trusting child of God. You can ask, where do you live? And his or her answer can be, it truthfully can be, in Christ. If you really think about that, honestly, his or her answer can be, in Christ. Well, I thought you lived in Kingsport. Nope. I reside in Kingsport. I live in Christ. I live and move and have my being in my Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the world that we currently reside in, we may end up being separated from some things. We may end up being separated from some things. certain habits and traditions that we've had all of our lives, certain freedoms that we've had so far all of our lives, certain places, certain people. But we will never be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Nothing can separate us from Christ. Nothing can separate us from each other in Christ. It doesn't matter whether we're here, there, or anywhere. Doesn't matter where we are. It honestly doesn't. All of God's people dwell safely. And that's an important word to me. All of God's people dwell safely together in the Lord Jesus Christ. We truly do, honestly do, live in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's where we dwell. And it's good and it's pleasant. So good and so pleasant. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or even sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." He said it appears we're just sitting ducks. That's what it looks like. It appears as though we're just an easy target. Because we're not going to do anything. We can't do anything. It looks like we're sheep lined up for the slaughter. But in verse 37, he said we're not. The slaughter has already taken place. The lamb has already been slain. Verse 37 says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." How did he love us? How did he show his love to us? How did he prove his love to us? He laid down his life for us. For that reason, God's apostle said in verse 38, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing is able to separate us from the life that we live together. And I'm talking about the eternal life, the spiritual life, the true life that has been given to us and secured for us in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our one. Nothing can separate us from him. He is our unity. Look with me at Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm speaking to every soul who has been placed by God the Father into the good and pleasant unity of Christ our Lord. That's who I'm talking to. Verse 2, he said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, who is our unity. I was reading this earlier today, and one of the things that stands out to me about Ephesians 1, and I believe it's one of the reasons why we love it so much, is because it says his name so many times. It says in him so many times. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What he said was, it's all in him. All of it. He is our one. He is our oneness. He is our unity. He is our life. He's our life. He's everything that is good and pleasant to us. All of it is in him, and we are in him, together in one. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. We may be separated into different congregations all over the world. And within the congregations, we may be separated into different households, but there's only one body. One body of God's believing people. It's the body of Christ Himself. He's the head, and we're the body. Verse 4 says, and one Spirit. We may have different flesh. We may have different thoughts in the flesh. We may have different feelings in the flesh. But among God's true people, there's only one Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ Himself. The very Spirit of Christ Himself. Verse 4 says, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. God's people may be all over the place in this world, but they all are looking to one end. One expected anticipation. Christ Himself. The mark, the prize, the finish line. None of God's people are looking to a place. When you think of heaven, are you thinking of a place? None of God's people are looking to a thing. All of God's people are looking to the only hope they have, Christ Himself. Unity with Him, oneness with Him. Him in us, us in Him. That's the hope of glory for all of God's people. Verse 5 says, there is one Lord, Christ Himself. God's people will never separate over that. All of them in blessed unity will cry, this same Jesus of Nazareth, whom we crucified with our own sins. God the Father hath raised Him up and highly exalted Him and made Him to be both Lord and Christ. There is one Lord God of heaven and earth, and His name is Jesus Christ. So good to dwell in unity over that. Verse 5 says, there is one faith, the faith of Christ. That's the only faith that there is. All of God's people will live together in unity. Precious unity, crying, it's not our faith, it's His. I didn't author it, He did. I didn't give it, He did. I didn't perform it, He did. So good for God's people to say in blessed unity, there's only one faith. Only one faith. It's the faith of Christ alone. Verse 5 says there's one baptism, one immersion. It's the immersion of the Holy Spirit taking a sinner and plunging that sinner into the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immersion into His life. That's what God's Holy Spirit does for us. He takes us and plunges us into the person, into the life and into the death and into the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Water baptism is not the true baptism. There's only one true baptism, and it's the work of God's Spirit putting all of His people, immersing all of His people into the Lord Jesus Christ. Water baptism is just a confession of the true baptism of the Spirit. That's all it is. It's just an outward announcement of what the Spirit inwardly has done. Water baptism doesn't wash away sins. sin can only be washed away in the blood. Our Lord didn't say, when I see the water, I'll pass over you. He said, when I see the blood. So there's one baptism, and it's the baptism of Christ himself. And verse 6 says, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And all of God's people in pleasant unity cry, amen. Amen. They don't cry, we won't have that man reign over us. All of them say, amen. All of them say, that's my life. That's where I live. Where do you live? Right there. That's where I dwell. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in the only thing that matters. The unity of being in Christ, being found in Him, being found in His will. All of God's people are so glad that it's not their will, it's His. All of God's people are so glad. Do you know how things would go for us if it was left up to our will? Horribly wrong. Horribly wrong. All so glad to be found in His choice. Aren't you so thankful the choice is not yours? Aren't you so glad the message is not, if you'll choose Him, you can have Him? You know what this sinful flesh would do? 'Tis not that I would choose thee. That could never be. All of God's people are in unity in His body and His blood and His sacrifice and everything that He gave to us. All of His acceptance, everything we read in Ephesians 1. So go back to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. He said the work of Christ, the blood of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the grace of Christ. He said it's like the oil that was poured on the high priest's head who made intercession for the people. Aaron was the priest. And they anointed his head with oil. All of that blessing, what was poured on his head, it ran all the way down to the skirts of his garment. And what God the Father poured on Christ our head. He's our head, and we're His body. And everything that God the Father poured on Christ our head, our high priest who made all that intercession for us, all the blessing of God the Father on Him. Ephesians 1, we just read that all spiritual blessings are in one place. All of the love that God the Father poured on Him. We read in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in one place. All of the goodness that God the Father poured on Him, everything that was poured on His head, it ran all the way down to His body. Flowed all the way down to His people. Those united people in Him. All of the blessing that He received, they received. Verse 3 says, it's just like the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, just like the snow-capped mountains, that dew, that rain, all that moisture comes down and it collects on those mountains. And then it melts into rivers of living water that flows down to the people. That's the good and pleasant blessing of the Lord that flows down to every soul that's in Him. All the goodness of God comes to all the people of God through Christ our Lord. The end of verse 3, he said, "For there, in him, in Christ, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Let's not forget to thank God for it. This is heaven on earth. The unity of God's people that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to thank God for it. We need to dwell together. We need to guard it. We need to love it. We need to live it. May God unite us in Him for Christ's sake. For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. All right, Brother Eddie, you come and lead us in a closing hymn.